Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We continue with Ask Me Anything this hour. Three lines open. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884. You got a big, giant question about the Catholic faith that you're welcome to call. You got a small question, maybe one that you feel, maybe insignificant. It's not insignificant. If you're talking about Jesus, the church, the sacraments, whatever it is, big or small, we would love to talk with you about it. 888-318-7884. Tim Staples, our guest this hour. Before we get to the phones, I do want to introduce you to a guest that we have had on the air with us before. I mentioned at the beginning of the last hour, I was feeling surrounded by high-energy apologists. It's pretty hard to get higher energy, in a good way, not in a negative way, in a good way, than Eric Tafoya, the traditional urban Catholic. That's his nom de online. And Eric, first of all, welcome. Thanks very much for being here.
No, thank you for allowing me to be here. But real quick, let's just do this. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, let me take my hat off real quick. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits that prowl around the world, seeking the ruin of souls.
Amen.
Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sanctis. Amen.
Amen. That was at least two languages. Amen. Thank you, Eric.
All the angels and saints in heaven pray for us, you know?
So tell us what you're up to. We know you're online with. Well, you know what? Just because there's going to be people who don't know what you're up to. And I told you, energy from Eric, traditional urban Catholic. What do you do there?
Well, my name is E.T., founder of the Traditional Urban Catholic Ministries, where we fight with faith, we serve with love, and we live the Catholic tradition with power. It's more than, we're all about urban Catholic apologetics, but I think apologetics can fall on deaf ears if there's not a call to action. If we're not actually implemented and living it with love.
I was just welcoming Tim Staples. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Eric.
The general's in the house. I saw him look this direction.
You don't have to fall quiet.
I'm a revert from the streets. Been transformed by the power of the sacraments, but having the sacramental life, right? At the traditional urban Catholic, we like to share the faith, but not just with your thoughts, right? Because we want your intellectual disposition to start becoming a call to action, living out the faith so that you could be a beacon of light like the original apostles were, right? Those disciples were taught by Jesus, and then they went out and they did the footwork. And so with the traditional urban Catholic, we believe that apologetics is an action. It's not just a word. We want to make sure that in our apologetics and defending the faith, are you praying your Angelus at 6, noon, and 6? Do you know that it defends your family? Are you praying your rosary every day? Do you know that it's cleansing your soul? Hey, we force our kids to brush our teeth every single day, right? Why? Because it takes the gunk out. The rosary takes all the gunk of life away from us. It transforms us and makes us new every single day. That's why it's important to do these things. At the traditional urban Catholic, we really believe in not just a head knowledge, but being practical with it, living like Jesus.
All right, well, so tell me about, this is the second annual Catholic men's conference that you're doing, the second annual Catholic man conference.
Man conference, yeah.
The theme of it this year, I believe, help my unbelief. And Tim Staples, who's here with us in studio, is one of the speakers. Along
General.
With, we just had before this. Yeah. This is a good day for you. We just had Alex Hirado, the voice of reason, on
Lieutenant,
with you.
Lieutenant, yeah.
You'll also. You've given everyone ranks.
Yeah, of course. We're a church militant, right? We're not militant.
So
enough.
He's a general.
So where we're at,
and the other guy, and Alex is a lieutenant.
Yeah, of course.
As an old enlisted man in the Marine Corps, I just got a huge advancement
and
here.
Pay raise too. Good for you having those stars.
Yes. Big promotion.
I think I would like quartermaster. I think that might be the appropriate one for me.
There you go.
So just tell
I'm
us a little bit.
I'm just drill sergeant.
Yes, you are. You definitely are. All right. I would like people to go to the Catholic Man Conference. So just tell us how they can do that. And then I got a couple more questions for you.
Okay, cool. Go to traditional urban UrbanCatholic.com, and you can actually find it on there, the Eventbrite link, traditionalurbancatholic.org, TUC7.org, and you can find the link on there. I believe, help my unbelief. You guys know I'm a convert, or a revert, I would say, been transformed by the blood of Jesus, but I noticed that a lot of Catholic men believe, but they need help with their unbelief.
Amen.
They need help with their identity, right?
Amen.
That they've been baptized as priests, prophet, and kings, and they have to start living that identity out. God created us to worship, serve, and to love him, not to play church, right? There's a spiritual war going on, and in Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 435, it says that we have been in dour combat with evil since creation, but if we don't know we're in a battle, and that this the practicing of our faith defeats the enemy, it strengthens us, it gives us courage to defeat the evil one, then we're losing the battle already because we don't realize we're at war.
All right, I got to ask you this, because you say you are from the streets.
Yeah.
But you didn't leave the streets, because there's people out there living on the streets here in California, and you haven't forgotten about them. And this fascinates me. You talk about, this is the thing about you that I mean, there's a lot of stuff I like about you, but this idea that it's not just intellectual, it's active. And so what are you doing out on the street with homeless people? You got a whole homeless ministry going.
Yeah, you know, it's called Never Leave a Brother or Sister Behind. And so I spent a lot of my years homeless on the streets. You guys know, 17 years incarcerated. But from the age of 13 to the age when I got out of prison at 40 years old, I was homeless. I never had a house. I never had nowhere to call my own and be there. So I have to go back to the people. I know they're hurt. Because why are they homeless? We just think because it's a choice, right?
Right.
But what about original sin? What about concupiscence? What about the brokenness of this life? And especially if they don't have the sacraments to combat against it. So we have to go back. It's what Jesus calls us to do, right? He says that the church is not it's not a hospital, right, for healthy people. But what is it? It's a hospital for sinners.
Yeah.
We got to call in the broken, the marginalized, like Jesus did.
It's incredible when you talk to homeless people. You'll be shocked as to where some of them did come from. Now, you have people that were sold into sex slavery and all sorts of things. But you also have people that just lost jobs and found themselves without family, without any system to undergird them, and they find themselves out in the street. And once they get out there, it's nearly impossible to get back. You can't shower. You can't go to a job interview looking nice. And when they ask you, where do you live? And such. So we need people to get out in the streets. You know what, brother? That's what really one of the many, many things that attracted me to the Catholic faith is that, you know, when I was Pentecostal, our idea of missions was generally, you know, you go out and preach. You know, you go out and preach and get massive crowds in India or Africa or wherever, and then you go back to the United States. Mm-hmm. Whereas the Catholic vision is we have brothers and sisters and priests who live in India, who live in the streets.
Yeah.
We've been doing this for 2,000 years in the Catholic Church, reaching out. Mother Teresa went down into the streets with them and lifted them up. And I love that about you, brother, because what you're doing is just Catholic.
Yeah, and all the way. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. And then when we go out there, it's not just providing them food, right?
Yeah.
That's one thing. We provide them food. We shake their hands.
Yeah.
And I don't care how dirty their hands are. We're going to make them feel human, right?
Amen. Right?
Jesus went to the leper like that, right?
Amen.
Jesus went to the man who had a legion of demons inside. He didn't go, oh, no. He actually went to him. And we have to be like that also. Meet them where they're at, bringing the love of Christ with them. And so I have a crew with me. It's not just me doing it. It's like one thing me doing it, right? But a lot of people are always like, oh, Eric, you're always trying to show yourself the YouTube and stuff. I want to teach young men. Leaders are built through service. They're not built through, oh, I got a degree and now I'm a leader.
Yeah.
No, you're through the trenches. That's how you're growing. And so the young men were going out there passing out food. We made good food bags. Not just like, oh, let's just throw, we don't want this, so we're going to give it away. I spent over $250 like on bread. We had turkey meat, and two slices of turkey meat, two slices of cheese, tomato, lettuce, pickles inside of it, apple, orange, fresh-made brownies, waters, hygiene bags, and then we provide prayer.
Amen.
We
God
do
bless
them
you.
Both, yeah.
Amen.
Eric, I do feel like there's this, and this is the last thing I'll ask you, then we'll go to the break. But you're doing this, you're doing a lot, but then now you've got these men's conferences. This is the second one, and I hope people will go to a traditional urban Catholic and find out about it.
Yeah.
But a lot of, we talk about the crisis of manhood and all of that stuff. a lot of it is selfish, what's being proposed to men online. You know, like I know these that many young men have been hurt, their fathers are not in the home with them, all of that stuff. But you're a tough guy. I mean, I don't mean to say that I'm not trying to build you up or anything, but you're not a selfish guy. And so tell me something about how we can get that message through. The compassion, the beauty, the love, the generosity of Jesus Christ is not, none of that mitigates against you being fully a man when you do those things.
You know what I like that question right there, because I talk about Catholic masculinity. Okay. I talk about being bold in our faith and sharing it. You know, being a man, let me ask you a question. How many women were chosen as the 12 apostles? How many apostles were women?
Zero.
I just listed them all.
Yeah. How many deacons were women? It's about men understanding their identity and understanding their purpose in life. Amen. And understanding that it's your duty. It's your job to preach the gospel. It's your job to share God's love with others. But we're not excited about it. When it comes, and not knocking anybody about philosophy or Thomistic theology, right?
Sure.
I'm not. But you know what it does? It doesn't allow us to be active. It allows me to think about what I'm doing for God so I can receive something.
Yeah.
That's not the gospel. The gospel is, how do I receive from God so that I can give out like this?
Praise God.
That's it. That's the true gospel message. Because the gospel is the only thing that you can continue giving out. Because I give it out every single day, everywhere I go, right?
Yeah.
Give it away, give it away, give it away. It's the only thing that you give away that continues to grow inside of you. So the more that you give the gospel away, the more that Jesus grows inside of you, the more this love turns in fire inside of you. But if you're not giving it away, you're going to be like that person with one talent. I got salvation. I go to my first Fridays. I go to my first Saturdays. I'm all holy, going to adoration with my family, but I'm not being a beacon of light for other people. I'm not leading others to Jesus Christ. Amen. Because what is it if we just love the ones that are around us?
That's right.
The tax collectors do that. Gang members do that. Amen. But what makes us different is we love everybody and we're trying to reach everybody.
Pope St. John Paul the Great said, man cannot find himself until he gives the perfect gift of self. You can go to 10,000 self-help seminars,
right,
faith seminars, love seminars, and I'm going to learn what love is. And nothing is going to work until you love somebody, until you give it away. It's faith. It's the same. Faith, hope, and charity, right? They're theological virtues. Virtue is a habit. You have to practice. You have to love somebody to learn what love is.
Amen.
You've got to give the faith away before. People ask me this, brother. How do you memorize so many scriptures? You know what? Most of it comes. Yeah, I read the scripture a lot. I love it. I was raised on it. But you know what? It's when I share it.
Yep.
I get stumped. I can think of particular times when I got stumped by this guy or that guy, and then I went back and studied and found the answer and gave it to him. It's there. It sticks in my head. I could read that chapter of scripture over and over and over, and it doesn't stick. But when I give it away, it sticks. That's how virtue works. That's how
praise
faith,
God,
hope, and charity works.
That consistency. No, I love it. No, I love that.
Eric Tafoya is our guest. Traditional urban Catholic. Check it out. I don't know how many cups of coffee you're having a day.
Can I just have this one more time? Can I share it one more time with them?
I just want to say one less cup. Just one less cup.
Holy Spirit, man. We already had eight. I'm telling you, by the time I hit the gym at 5 o'clock, I've already prayed the rosary, my morning offerings.
Oh, we're talking 5 a.m. 5 a.m. we're
and
talking.
And I'm at the gym.
I thought he was going in the afternoon.
But I just want to share it.
Go ahead, Eric. Preach.
Catholic Man Conference, I believe, helped my unbelief. Like I said, once again, the General Tim Staples, Voice of Reason, the Lieutenant. We got Father Gino Gelli. He juggles, he raps, he's on fire, he's traditional, he does Latin mass, he does masses everywhere.
Beautiful.
He's on fire for God, he's my pastoral director, so please come and join us. And just one last thing, Traditional Urban Catholic 7, you can find us on YouTube, Instagram. We're more than a YouTube channel. You know, we are actually participating with saving souls on the streets also. So I just want to make sure, if you guys want to join us, check out Traditional Urban Catholic. We don't just teach the faith, we live it. We defend the deposit of faith, not only with our words, but through sacramental living and radical discipleship.
And what's his name? Voice of Reason.
Alex Alvarado.
Alex!
Yeah.
I am so impressed with this guy.
He's good, isn't he?
He's
really, really good.
Phenomenal, man.
Yeah.
Hang with him, bro. You guys are a powerful team.
I know. I am fired up today. I am fired up. Eric, you're a blessing. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much.
All right, we'll take a quick break right back with your questions for Tim Staples on Catholic Answers Live.
Let us help you with your question.
today on Catholic Answers Live.
Do you have a question but prefer to ask it privately? Catholic Questions can help. Go to CatholicQuestions.com to ask your question online, email us, drop us a letter, or give us a call. Longtime Catholic Answers Live apologist and author Jim Blackburn or another Catholic Questions apologist will be happy to assist you. Catholic Questions proudly supports Catholic Answers Live, so visit us at CatholicQuestions.com today. That's CatholicQuestions.com.
EWTN Religious Catalog has great summer reading for the whole family. Diary of a Future Saint, Faustina's Incredible Journey, tells the story of Helena Kowalska, a Polish peasant farm girl at the dawn of the 20th century, who we now know as Saint Faustina. It's one of many great summer reading suggestions for you from EWTN Religious Catalog. For more, visit EWTNRC.com today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. 888-318-7884 is the number to Ask Me Anything. Tim Staples is our guest. Sometimes I have thought, you know, these apologists, you, Jimmy, people like Pat Madrid, I don't mean that, I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, but you're not going to be here forever. And you kind of feel like, oh, there's, then you see these young people who have listened to you guys and they're coming up and you go, oh, we're okay.
They're blowing my mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that Alex
Alex Hirado. He was
Hirado.
He doesn't even care if you know his name. Just call him Voice of Reason. He's not looking for attention. He's a good soul.
Yeah,
good
praise soul. God. You know, and that's just one of the zillions of signs you can see all around you, folks, that the Catholic Church is alive and well.
Boy, is it.
All over the world. It is exciting.
Yep. Again, the number 888-318-7884. Let's go up to Yorba Linda, California. I believe the hometown possibly of one Richard Milhouse Nixon. I believe that is correct. Maria, listening on iHeartRadio. Hello, Maria.
Hi, gentlemen, and yeah, that is correct. That is the hometown of the late President Nixon.
Yeah, yep. I thought so.
It's right down the street from me, the library.
Oh,
thank you for taking my call. I wanted to just a little quick backstory of why I'm asking this question. I saw a video recently of a priest in Arizona, I think it was, who accidentally said one word wrong during baptisms over many years, and that those baptisms may have been or were nullified.
Yes.
And the reason for that was given on this video was that when we say the appropriate language or the language transcribed for that, that we know that what we want to happen is going to happen. And to me, that wasn't a good enough explanation. And I can't understand why God does not understand the intention of the priest when administering the sacrament. So I'm hoping you can enlighten me.
Yeah. Oh, great and very important question. And for those who don't know, the case she's speaking about was Father Andres Arango in Phoenix, who for years used the formula instead of saying, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He said, we baptize you in the name of the Father. And see, when you might say, well, gee, that's just one word, but that changes everything. It also, by the way, changes because, and this is partially answering your question here, words are important because words convey realities and intention is interwoven in those realities, right? Like I can say to somebody, I'm going to use an extreme example here. I can say, or someone can say to their wife, I love you, and then punch her in the mouth and then say, I love you. Well, she asked me to do that. She wanted me to do it. Well, guess what? Your actions are not congruent with your words, and those words can become meaningless in the context of saying, this is what I mean by love, bam, I'm punching you in the face, right? Well, we can see by that intention is absolutely important. And in fact,
not only do you have to have the proper form and matter, but you do have to have the proper intention, that is doing what Jesus does. So you could even get it right as far as the words, and it still be invalid if you're not intending, and we could talk about the Mormons, for example.
Right, will baptize
in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but because they're talking about Adam's baptism, Jesus was just mimicking Adam's baptism that happened thousands of years before. Well, that's not the baptism of Jesus. And then you add to that the fact that they don't believe in God, and we have a further problem that may well infect intention as well. But the point is, you could have the right words, wrong intention, and it'd be invalid. And in this case, the change of the words is so radical because now we no longer have a sacrament. If you say, we baptize, well, guess what? Then that's no longer Jesus baptizing, because the proper form is I baptize. Why? Because the priest is speaking in persona Christi. He is Christ. And that's why the priest says, I baptize. And when he says I, he's not principally saying I, Father so-and-so, but it's Jesus. Now, of course, he, with that proper intention, becomes the instrumental cause there, but the efficient cause, the power is Jesus. It's Jesus doing the baptism through the instrumental cause of the priest. And so if you miss that word, you're no longer talking about Jesus being the principal baptizer, but it's we, right? Even if Father was to say, Jesus and I baptize you, that would be invalid. Because no, Father, you're not a co-baptizer with Jesus. Jesus is the efficient cause of the sacrament. You are merely an instrumental cause, all right? So I say all this to say this. Words mean something. And ironically, my sister, the reason why, St. Thomas Aquinas brings this out in the Summa Theologica when he's talking about sacraments as a concept, that Jesus ordained for the words to be simple because of the importance of what we're talking about here, right? The words are simple. They're easy to understand, readily understandable by all, and they're simple. I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is very simple. Father, just say the words,
right?
And there's a reason for that on many levels. One, it's easy to understand. It conveys the essence of what the sacrament is, as well as what it's going to do. I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So, yeah, I get it. I've had other people say similar to me, you know, and I really appreciate the question because it's like, well, he probably intended on doing the right thing. So why can't God just understand that? Well, when we're talking about salvation, something so important as this, The church cannot, and our blessed Lord cannot be so nebulous to where, well, you know, maybe this is okay, and well, maybe that's okay too, and well, what about that? No, there has to be the greatest amount of certainty when we're talking about sacraments that are necessary for salvation. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. I was at a funeral the other day, and the priest used a word during the consecration that I had never heard before, and that's what got me thinking. He used chalice instead of cup. I've never heard a Roman Catholic priest use the word chalice instead of cup. Hmm. And so, but chalice and cup have the same meaning, essentially.
Yes,
and
they do.
He were saying we, and maybe it wasn't. So what you're saying, he was saying we in this room baptize you, instead of just perhaps using the wrong word to mean I. He really was saying we. So in that context, yes, it does make perfect sense.
Yeah,
you're
talking about an entirely different reality then. You're no longer talking about the sacrament. Now, as far as chalice goes, that was part of the change that Pope Benedict, actually it was even before Pope Benedict, there was a long process of revising the English translation in the liturgy. And chalice is closer to the actual Latin than is cup. both would be valid. However, if you're saying Mass in English, you should say chalice because that's the translation that the church gives us. Now, that's a thing where a person would be guilty. If a priest knowingly deviates from the translated text of chalice and says and goes back to the old cup, that would not invalidate the Mass. But he's wrong in doing that. He needs to go with the translation as it is when it comes to the words of institution. But listen, I appreciate your call. God bless you.
Thanks, Maria. Thanks very much. Tim Staples is our guest. It's Ask Me Anything this hour. And there's so many people visiting and so many things going on. I forgot to wish everybody a happy Juneteenth.
Yes.
I believe it's the greatest accomplishment of the Biden administration for this reason. We need more holidays. It's celebrating a very important thing. The remedying of a great evil is a great good. And the ending of slavery is therefore the greatest good our country has achieved. And so it's a great day to celebrate. And I apologize for having gone so long without mentioning it, but I actually have no idea who's off. I can't understand holidays anymore. Who's off on which day? I think this is kind of like a Columbus Day one, where some are, some aren't. All right, right back. More Tim Staples. When the resurrected Jesus appeared to disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. The same is true today. In the Holy Eucharist, we really meet Jesus. In The Eucharist is Really Jesus, author Joe Heschmeyer explains how knowing Jesus in the Eucharist is the key to understanding all of Christian faith. Order your copy of The Eucharist is Really Jesus today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to casociety315.com and join today.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world. But it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun. And that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that. But he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs. But you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests, he does on-air debates, and he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Tim Staples, our guest. I hope you're not skeptical of my view. I do believe in more holidays
because
I'm not a work is virtue kind.
Yes.
I don't believe that.
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
Well, work is good for us.
Oh, it's not bad.
We were made to work, but we are also made for leisure.
Yeah,
as Joseph Pieper, in his great book, it explains quite well, you know, there's a reason why God wants us to relax and take time, because that's when you build relationship with your family.
Right.
That is the foundation of civilization. And how many families are destroyed because dad's at work all the time.
Right.
And when he gets home, that's
right.
He's still
that's
at
what
work.
I mean. Yeah, that's right. So, and the truth is, like, even when people have a day off, you might work around the house. You might get some things done that you didn't. Like, not all work has to be go to work, leave the family.
Right,
I just think that we got too much of that in the modern
world. Amen, brother.
Stella's in Ridgewood, New Jersey, watching on YouTube. We're glad you're here, Stella. Go ahead with your question for Tim.
Hi, Tim. I'm going to try to do my best to articulate this question. Hopefully you can be able to answer. But yeah, so I was wondering how we are to dispose ourselves in relation to God's love. I understand that we're not trying to win over his love, which I was kind of wrong for the longest time.
Right.
Oh. But in but I don't, I'm kind of confused with, are we supposed to rest in his love? Because we don't, we aren't certain that we are going to heaven. And even some saints say only a few go to heaven. And I'm just, I don't know if I'm really confused, like kind of living out of fear of God and like winning his love and kind of that trying hard to impress God almost like is fueling the zeal to go out there and take advantage of every opportunity. To evangelize, to do, you know, to do God's work, but then kind of resting in that love and that certainty of his, you know, his yeah. love can also be a way of just kind of being satiated or just being very mediocre or even like not being able to repent fully of our sins. So,
right. Well, Stella, I think you ask a really important question. And I think the spiritual life really depends upon, as a first principle, that we understand that God loves us. In fact, we had a radio host here before you that used to say, God loves you,
and there's nothing you can do about it.
Or yeah. God loves us, and there's nothing we can do about it. I used to love that line. And that's a fact because, you know, Stella, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, famous text, God is love. You know, I say this in a certain sense, it's all he can do because he is love. Now, of course, he has lots of attributes and so forth, but he is love. And so there is nothing you and I can do. And you might want to read, Stella, there was a letter put out by the DDF with the approval of the Pope called Dignitas Infinita. It sounds fancy there, but it's just infinite dignity. And it's a beautiful document that talks about exactly what we're talking about here, the essential dignity of the human person. And there's four principles that are laid out in the early part of that letter on the four different ways that our dignity is expressed and experienced as human beings. But the first is the most important side, and that's ontological dignity. We have a dignity that cannot be, and that is that we're created in the image and likeness of God, a God who loves us absolutely because he has created us in his image and likeness. We are lovable because he's created us in his image and likeness. And there's nothing we can do that would destroy that ontological goodness. Now, there's moral goodness and there's social and there's existential that we don't have time to get into right now. But the bottom line is the first is the most important because God's love is rooted in our ontological goodness that he put into us. And so in that sense, he can't do anything but love you, Cy Kellett, because he made you, and he's good. You remember in the book of Genesis, right, the 6 days of creation, after each day, God says, or the scripture says, this is good, 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 and very good. So God says it, that this is good, 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 and very good. And we have to understand that as a first principle of the spiritual life, or we really won't go anywhere. Because, Stella, if we believe that we have to work up somehow, I've got to be better so God will love me, you'll never be good enough. You will never get there. I personally believe that was the problem, the ultimate problem with Martin Luther and the reason we had a so-called Reformation that I call a rebellion. It was rooted in the fact that he did not believe God loved him. He did not believe God would forgive him. Right. He was terribly scrupulous. He would go to confession and then confess his sins, leave and have one thought and dive back in the confessional. His confessor would say, Martin, get out of here. You're forgiven. But he couldn't receive it. And I believe it was rooted in a bad relationship with his own father. And I think that's often an undergirding problem when you experience people who have a hard time believing that God loves them. Often it's because they've had a bad experience with family, in particular father, that can do the most damage. But the bottom line, Stella, to answer your question, God so... We always get back to John 3:16, don't we, Cy Kellett?
Yes.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And look at... A lot of times folks don't quote the next verse, verse 17. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. There are a whole lot of theologies out there. Calvinism, as many of you know, that you know, I so agree with John Wesley on this one. It's absolutely makes a monster out of God. But you know, those who believe that God wills, you know, these, and usually it's most you know, if there are 144 billion people, as scientists say, who have ever lived on this planet, maybe a couple million of them will be saved.
Good Lord.
Jonathan Edwards and maybe a couple other guys like that will make it to heaven. You know, that sort of thing. Oh, it is just so far afoul, and we don't have time to get into Matthew 7:13 and Luke 13 and all those texts. What about the way is broad and all of that? But here, the bottom line is, Stella, we have to understand that God loves us, and he so loved us that he gave. He loved us before we were ever created, right? And Romans chapter 5, verse 8, St. Paul says, God commends his love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Understand there, what's Paul talking about? While we were sinners. I wasn't even born yet. No, the whole point that Paul is making, while we were yet sinners, that's the whole... All of human beings, while we, that is the collective we, were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He not only loves us absolutely, but he did it before we were even around, okay? He already commended his love toward us. So that love is absolute. Now, the key here, Stella, is once we understand that there's nothing I can do that will make God not love me. There's nothing I can do to work my way up to God's love. His love is his gift to me. That should be impetus for me. And he demonstrates that love in that he, that is the second person of the Blessed Trinity, died on the cross for me. Not just humanity, Stella. Jesus didn't die for humanity, an abstraction. I love the way the Catechism of the Catholic Church actually quotes Galatians 2:20 on this, where St. Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I live, but Christ lives in me, and the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who gave himself for me. Notice Paul didn't say he gave himself for humanity. He gave himself for me. For each and every one of us, he died. He demonstrates his love for us. And that should be what compels us to want to love him. I want to do what I can because he's done everything for me. Now, Stella, sometimes in the spiritual life, we need more than that. This is why Jude verse 3 will say, save some with fear, snatching them out of the flames. We do have to bring up the reality of justice. And that if we don't repent and if we reject God, yes, there is a hell that is real, and that's a real possibility for all of us. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with presenting the truth, the whole truth, which includes that reality of justice and the idea that if we don't repent, as, you know, Jesus put it in stark terms in text of scripture, like Luke chapter 13, 1 through 6, if you remember, where people came to Jesus and said, Jesus, Pilate is mixing the blood of Jews with the evening sacrifice. What are you going to do? What are you going to do, right? And they were probably rabble-rousers, wanted Jesus. Oh, let's rise up. You know, we're going to. And what did Jesus say? He said, unless you repent, you will likewise perish, right? That had to be a shocker.
Well, that's not what we were thinking.
That's not what we were thinking, right? No. Jesus warns them. Do you think they were sinners above all Galileans? No, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish. So Jesus has that message, as did John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But in all of this, Stella, what has to undergird everything, because even if somebody comes to God out of a motivating factor of fear, there has to be some filial love there. Or else it's not meritorious and it won't get you to heaven. There has to be some love involved in that scenario. So we always have to get back to, yes, fear can be a motivator, but you know what? If it's pure fear, we call that servile fear versus filial fear. We should fear God like a son fears a father, not like a slave to a master. But there has to be that filial fear there. Otherwise, you have Esau. Esau, who repented with tears but was never converted, according to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Why is that? Right? He says, "Father, follow peace with all men and the holiness without which no man shall see God." And remember Esau, he says. Now, why? Because Esau never got back to the love, and most likely because he was rejected by his father. I believe there, you have that classic scenario there in Hebrews. That would be chapter 12, beginning at verse 14 through 16. There has to be some love. And that's why, Stella, we have to, in our spiritual lives and whenever we're counseling people or evangelizing, yes, if you're going to use hell as a reality, sin is a bummer, will destroy you. The wages of sin are death, as Romans 6:23, and all those beautiful texts of Scripture, we always have to get back to the love of God as well. Because without love, as St. Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I could give my body to be burned, right? Wow. But if I have not charity, it profits me nothing. There has to be charity. And Stella, how can anyone deny the love of God when you look at the face of Jesus? He said to Thomas, you want to see the Father? Have I been with you this long? Look at me. I am the love of the Father. It doesn't mean he is the Father for our Sabellian friends out there. Okay, no, he is not the Father. But if you look at the Son, you see the Father because he is all that the Father is. He is love incarnate, and that is the point. He's saying, Thomas, have you been with me this long and you don't know? Look at me, right? Isn't that beautiful that Jesus could do that? Look at me and you will see love. Stella, I challenge anyone to look at the life of Jesus Christ, look at the passion and death of our Lord and deny the existence of love, and then take it one step further and understand that that is a manifestation of the love that God had from us from all eternity. Does that make sense, Stella?
I'm a little confused though, like, because there are hierarchies at the end of our life for those who cooperate with his love.
Absolutely.
Or even like those who are like more fasting or more prayerful, they are able to, you know, be more powerful intercessors in this lifetime.
Absolutely.
And I'm just wondering, it does feel like I'm winning something, or there is a reward to it. So I don't know.
Do you, Stella, hang on a quick second. Do you want me to take the break first and then answer this? Is it a quick answer?
Yeah, let's take a break because you've asked a second part that I think is really important, the idea of reward. We're going to talk about that after the break.
Hang on, Stella. We'll be right back with more Tim Staples on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
One of the biggest mistakes a Christian can make is to try to do good without God's help. Saint Therese said, "When we trust only ourselves and not God, our soul becomes incapable of virtue." Her remedy? Works of charity. And the greatest work of charity is to share the gospel. At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we encourage you to share the gospel with someone who doesn't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. StreetEvangelization.com.
Father Benedict Groeschel on Life.
Pope John Paul, in his encyclical Evangelium Vitae, the gospel of life, he said that all Christians are responsible to make known in society their strong opposition to abortion, euthanasia, and the abuse of life. All Christians.
EWTN, preserving human dignity
in a throwaway culture.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Tim Staples, our guest. We're on the phone with Stella. Before I go back to your answer for Stella, Eric just reminded me, as I was talking about June 19th, that, you know, some stuff happened in the church's history, and we've been around for a while. And recently, just 1,700 years ago, I didn't know this. June 19th was the date of the signing.
The signing?
Of the creed. I knew that this year is the celebration of
the Council
1,700 years since the 325 Council of Nicaea, but I didn't know today was the day, Eric, so thank you very much that we're celebrating
Outstanding.
That. Outstanding.
Yeah. Got that from Mr. Eric Tafoya.
Yeah. Yeah, 1,700 years of saying that creed. It's done a lot of us a lot of good. Stella, we'll go back to your question, and it has to do with, but aren't there, Stella is not sure what to make of rewards. Rewards for love. Does God reward our love?
Right. And the answer is yes. Now, you asked the question about, there are some Christians who have more gifts than others. They're more powerful in their intercessory prayer. There's no doubt about that. We see that all over sacred scripture that God gives, for example, Romans chapter 12, verse 6, St. Paul talks about he gives different gifts to different members of the body of Christ, right? And also, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and my Mormon friends, if you're listening, you need to pipe in right here and listen, because St. Paul talks about how there are levels of glory. He uses the word glory among the people of God. And he uses the example, there's a glory of the sun, a glory of the moon, right? But then he says, and within the body of Christ, that each member differs from another like one star differs from another star. So for my Mormon friends who want to just say, you know, there's the three levels, sorry. There are many, how many levels are there in heaven? There are as many levels as there are saints in heaven, because each one of us grows in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because of our first of all, because we're given a gift, but we can expand our participation in the gifts that God gives us by our cooperation. And so that's why St. Paul says, as star differs from star, so it is in the resurrection, that is the members of the body of Christ. So, you know, we can look at Acts chapter 5, Peter just, his shadow would heal people, right? We talked about this before last week, Cy, and St. Paul in Acts chapter, 19, around verse 20, where St. Paul, they would touch handkerchiefs to people, or to him, and then take them to people, and they would be healed because of the gifts that they have. So, in accordance with, now that's more charismatic gifts. That's not a sign of sanctifying grace, because you can perform those kinds of miracles and end up in hell. You know, as Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, many people will come to me that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy, lay hands on the sick, and they recovered? And he said, I will say to them, depart from me, right? So, those are more charismatic gifts. But the bottom line is, yes, there are different levels of sanctity, and so there is an hierarchy of glory in the body of Christ. This is why St. Paul would say in Romans chapter 2, verse 6, God will reward each man according to his works. To him who continues in good works, his reward shall be glory in corruption and eternal life. Eternal life is a gift, yes, that we merit through our cooperation with God's grace, but so is incorruption and glory. And that's where Paul enters into that, the immeasurable number of levels of glory that we will experience. But mind you, none of this, Stella, has anything to do with God loving us or not. This is only about how we respond to God's love, exercising our free will in him, with him, and through him. If we don't understand that as a first principle, and that's the point I was making, is we're not going anywhere. Because if we think that we have to work up that love, if the little flower thought she had to work up that love in order to be the little flower, she would have never been the little flower. Right. I'm talking about St. Therese of Lisieux in her little way, if you read that. It's when she understood, and we all understood, how much God loves us, how can we do anything other than to love him back and to want to give everything to him?
Stella, I'm going to leave it there and see how many I can get on with Tim while we've
Let's
got him
it.
Here. Thank you very much. Beautiful questions, and I'm very glad we had those conversations. Zach is in Private, Iowa. Is that correct, Zach? You're in a place called Private, Iowa? Oh, is that correct, Zach?
I just didn't want to give my actual time.
Oh,
oh, Private.
I am so foolish.
Now
I'm going to be embarrassed for about a month. Yes, you're in a private location is what I meant to say, Zach. I apologize. Yeah. That was dumb of me. But there is a place called Private Idaho, I believe, because I know a guy who's living in his own Private Idaho. But go ahead, Zach, with your question.
All right. Okay. I've been trying. I can't quite grasp why, or I should say, what the point was of the angel wrestling with Jacob.
Yes.
It's like.
Yes.
Sorry,
what's that about?
So long, I kind of lost my train and thought.
Well,
so,
Zach, maybe we should just chat a little bit about Jacob wrestling with the angel. You're talking about Genesis chapter 32. I love that that beautiful section of scripture because basically, remember, whenever you're reading stories of the patriarchs and the great saints of the Old Testament or the New Testament, it's always about all of us. You know, it's never about just Jacob or just Abraham, right? It's always about all of us. And this is a great example of our relationship with God, isn't it? And notice it's Jacob who wrestles with the angel, right? The messenger of God. And Jacob grabs a hold of him and says, "You're not going anywhere until you bless me," right? This is, in my mind, Zach, this is what Jesus talked about. There's coming a time when the kingdom of heaven must experience violence, and the violent take it by force. That's not a negative statement. That's a positive statement about the spiritual life. We've got to determine in our spiritual lives. And Zach, this is so important for people that are listening right now. If you have habitual sin in your life and you think, "I can't get rid of this," well, guess what? No, you can't. Amen.
Yeah, amen to
no,
that.
No, you
right.
can't.
You can't.
That's right. But God can. I can do all things in Christ, he says in Philippians 4:13, who strengthens me. But we've got to be willing as well. It's not a thing where we just lay here and, "Well, God, take it away," or, "Oh, well, he didn't, so I'm just going to go sin again." Right? No. We've got to get violent. We've got to, what St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, I love this, verse 1. He says, "Having these promises, dearly beloved." What promises? He's just been talking about, read 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The promise and the power, our dignity as human beings, as temples of the Holy Spirit, and the great gifts he's given to us. He recounts there in 2 Corinthians 6, leading up to chapter 7, "Having these promises, dearly brethren, my dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves." Did you hear that, Si? "Let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Zach, how in the world can I cleanse myself? I can't cleanse myself. What are you talking? Yes, you can. By See, this is where John Calvin and Martin Luther blew it so badly, is the idea of first cause and secondary cause. Jesus Christ is the first cause of our salvation, right? We have no power apart from him, but we are secondary causes. We are required to allow God to work in us. And in order to do that, my friend, we've got to determine, knowing it's God's grace that's aiding us to do it, I'm going to purify myself. I am going to turn away from this sin. And that was Jacob. Jacob is saying, "I'm not going to let you go till you bless me." And he wrestled all night, and he won by losing. Notice, he walks with a limp the rest of his life. He lost, but he won by losing to the angel. And that's what happens. We win by losing our life to the author of life, Almighty God in Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Zach. Thank you, Tim Staples.
Hey.
I know it went really quick. I know it did. I know what you're going to say. But
Too fast.
It did. It went really quick. All right, that'll do it for us. We'll see you tomorrow, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.